I want to talk especially to those of you that aren't right with God, or those of you that might not be right with God, or those of you that know that you are just flat out lost and you want to be saved. I want to plead with you for a little while about something God has taught me in the written Word of God and in my own personal experience. Because I love you dearly, whoever you are. And I love even you if you're an enemy of the true faith of Jesus Christ. Truly, I love you and desire good for you and would be willing to talk to you about why we have done what we have done and walked in the ways that we have walked in and tried to maintain our integrity before God and before men according to the written Word of God despite cultural norms in this day and age which are very much contrary to the written Word of God and even to the way that things have been in this country in previous centuries and even previous decades. Well, I'd like to talk again in this section about evil communications, about the dangers of evil communications, which is what false prophets do. And one of the fruit of them is false peace. And so this is very relevant to this little section of this series on biblical salvation, which I tried to show you the relevance of false prophets and false peace in the last section. And I beg you, please listen to my voice. Beware of evil, unrighteous counsel, evil words out of a man's mouth, flatteries, words that tell you that you're fine when God is not saying it. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a proof text I'd like to share with you all to consider. Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the written Word of God, which proves itself to be God's Word, by all the prophecies about the Messiah and what He would do and where He'd be born and how He'd live and how He'd die, was already in the Bible hundreds of years, thousands of years before He was born. Many such like things like that. All the things in the end times that are happening today and the move toward the one world order that we're seeing right now and all the move away from Christianity now being the most persecuted religion in the world. All these things were in the Scripture. The iniquity abounding on every side, the moral decadence in our culture that we've never seen, even back in the 1940s, if they came and people from that time were warped somehow into 2013, people that were old in that time that had been born, say, in the 1800s, and they came, they would be shocked and startled. And all of you that are considering what I'm saying, I'm sure that you can see the logic behind that and the reasonableness of that. But in light of these things, I want to talk about evil communications and the dangers of it. In 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a proof text. Paul says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. What that means is when Paul says, be not deceived, before a statement, he does that about three other times in the New Testament. It means this is very important. Please consider what I'm saying. I mean this. He's talking to the Corinthian church that he loves. In evil communications, corrupting good manners, that means corrupting good intentions. And I know that many that are hearing my voice, many of you might have good intentions. And many of you that could be lost, who I'm particularly wanting to talk to right now, might desire to be saved. And I'm warning you. I'm warning you. The greatest way Satan will desire to destroy your soul is by evil communications. He'll work through men. He can work through thoughts. He can work through dreams. But he will try to speak to you and say peace, peace, when there's no peace, or flatter you, or turn you away from the course that you're on right now. If you're trying to repent, you're trying to strive into the straight gate, and you're seeking God with all your heart because you want to find Him, and you don't want false peace, and you want God to speak peace, and you want God to do a supernatural, miraculous work of salvation in your heart that I've been talking about in this series, that you have not had done. Your heart has never been strangely warmed like John Wesley. I entreat you to be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. If you've ever read the book by John Bunyan called The Pilgrim's Progress, a very good example of John Bunyan relaying through this analogy, this picture of this man named Christian who is a type of a Christian and a type of a pilgrim in this world. And the way that he gets started out, he sees a book and he reads about all these judgments that are coming upon the world and coming upon himself. And he was afraid. He read about the cross. And he was led to an evangelist who pointed him to the cross, to the wicket gate. And he was told, surely, through this man, it's implied, to turn from sin, to repent, to walk in the light that you have. And he couldn't even see the wicket gate at first, but he just saw this hill. And he said, go toward that hill, the evangelist. And he put his fingers in his ears, all of his family saying, you're crazy. You're mad. You're out of control. Sin is not a big deal. It doesn't matter if you love the world. It doesn't matter what you do with your life or how you live your life. All these things are being said. And he put his fingers in his ears. And he runs in the book of Pilgrim's Progress. And he cries, life! Life! Eternal life! He hardened his heart against evil communications from his own beloved wife and his own beloved children because he wanted to be saved. And he knew in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And again it says in Proverbs 9, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. For those of you that are lost, whoever you are, please consider this. Your soul is important. I remember when I was seeking God, at one point I was at a very charismatic type church, and I didn't know if I was saved at that time. I was seeking God with all my heart, and I didn't want a false peace, and I knew many men are deceived. I knew the parable of the sower, of the seed in Matthew chapter 13, where that seed is planted, which is a emblematic of the Word of God, and these birds come, they snatch it away. The devil comes and snatches it away, and one of the main ways he does that is through evil communications, and thus I was afraid, because my whole life I've been told that I was fine and saved. When I wasn't, when I loved the world, and I loved my sin, and I loved myself, and I'd never been born again, what Jesus Christ says, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. And everybody said, you're fine, because I said a prayer. It's terrible, and I'd have convictions, things like that. I'd commit sin, do all manner of evil acts, and yet people would tell me that I'm fine, because I go to church, or because I confess my sins, or because I'm religious, and say the right things, etc. But I'd never been born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How terrible. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. And again in Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Beware of false prophets. Beware of evil communications. Proverbs 14, verse 7, God says it in His Word like this, go, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. If you're lost, if you need the Lord, and you don't know if you're saved, or maybe you might be lost, but you might be saved, and you don't know, please, my dear friends, so many I've seen that have had light, and God has shown them their sin in their hearts, that they're not ready to stand before God. They don't have the peace of past understanding, and they have no grounding that they should have it. They're not being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then within days after being convicted about that, wanting to do something about it, they're back to their sin, they're back to drunkenness, or they're back to being proud, or they're back to being worldly, etc. Condemned sins in the Scripture, they're perishing, and somebody tells them you're fine, and they believe it. Dear friends, whoever you be, please be careful about who you're listening to when it comes to doctrine. They're not turning you from sin, they're not doing you a favor. They're doing you a great misfavor, and they're doing you a great damage to your eternal welfare, and they're playing the false prophet if they're doing that, because the Bible condemns flesh and sin from cover to cover. And if somebody is talking to you and they're not doing that, they are not speaking biblical Christianity. They're not. Not if you're in sin, and they're saying that you're fine in your sin. Going on, I just want to speak more about this concept of evil communications by telling you a story to express to you all that are listening to my voice the dangers of evil communications. There was a man named Rolf Barnard blessed man of God that died in 1969 that I've shared about in the other messages of this series that I hope that you've heard. I pray that you will hear. I believe it would bless you and help you all to listen to these things in the right order. But Rolf tells about a story about a woman or a couple women in the northeast of the United States. And he was preaching and had some kind of revival meetings up in a church up there. And he preached and a couple of these ladies came to his meeting. And he was a man of God and the Spirit of God was with him. And thus he was striving to turn men from sins under God and by the grace of God. Just like John Bunyan did back in his day. John Bunyan said this, quote, "In my preaching of the word, I took special notice of this one thing, namely that the Lord did leave me to begin where his word begins with sinners, that is, to condemn all flesh and to open and allege that the curse of God by the law doth belong to and lay hold on all men as they come into the world because of sin. Now this part of my work I fulfill with great feeling for the terrors of the law and conscience and guilt of my transgressions lay heavy on my conscience. I preach what I felt, what I smartingly did feel, even that under which my poor soul did groan and tremble to astonishment." That's John Bunyan. And Rolf Barna was made of the same mold as that man of God that wrote the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, which used to be like a textbook for many people in the English-speaking world on every side, along with the Bible. They have a Pilgrim's Progress for centuries. Though many don't know about it today, you can get it at Barnes & Noble's. I hope that you will consider it. Well, Rolf Barna was preaching a message that was condemning flesh and that was stripping men of self-righteous fig leaves to lead them to trust in the righteousness of another, in Jesus Christ. And as Rolf Barna was preaching, these two ladies that were at his meeting heard his words and they were condemned. Like when Noah preached, a preacher of righteousness, the Spirit of God striving through him with all flesh for 120 years. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah built an ark by the which he condemned the world. He condemned the world. And as he preached righteousness, it condemned the world in his day because it was unrighteous. Because there was violence on every side. Because they were under the wrath of God. And Noah preached that he would have been lying not to do that. He wasn't going to flatter with the tongue. These two ladies heard Rolf Barna speaking a very forthright message of open rebuke, which is better than secret love. And they got afraid. They got convicted. That's not always a bad thing. By fear of God, men depart from evil. Is a man's message turning you from sin? That's a true prophet. And these ladies, after Rolf Barna had been preaching to them these things, they came to a pastor, a false prophet, that day, and they told him about this man preaching these things and how they were condemned. And this man said, "That man's off the map. That man is not to be trusted. That man is off the wall. Don't worry about it. You're fine." And he spake peace, peace to them. And he said, "You're okay. Don't worry about it." And thus their wounds were healed slightly with a false peace, peace when there was no peace to the wicked. Well, Rolf kept preaching, and for whatever reason, these ladies, he said, came back to the meeting the next time. And the same thing happened again as he preached. They got condemned. And they were seeing that they were lost. And they were afraid. And they went back to this false prophet, and this is terrible. The man again said, "Don't listen to that man. This man's off the wall. This man cannot be trusted. He's out of control." And the man contradicted what Rolf said, and he told them, "You're fine. Here, look, the Bible says this," and twisted some scripture, and spake peace, peace, and flattered with the tongue, but didn't deliver their soul. The Bible says, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." And at this time, at this point, these ladies went insane. They literally lost their minds. And Rolf Barna was preaching a sermon where I heard this story about 10 years later. And he said those ladies were still in some kind of psych ward, some kind of insane asylum because of evil communications, which is not a game. This is not a light matter. And I entreat you, whoever you are, if you want to be saved, you want to follow Jesus Christ, don't hear it. It says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 7, another passage, another scripture on this concept, "Cease, my son, to hear the words of instruction, which causeth thee to err, the words of knowledge. I'd like to close this short message, but important concept and principle in the Word of God for those that desire to follow the Lord, whoever you are, wherever you come from, whether you're a professing Christian or not, please be careful with your immortal, never-dying soul and evil communications. Whoever you are, I entreat you, I beg you, this is something that many don't understand. Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is a spirit of flattery and will be flattering. An imminent type of Antichrist in Scripture is Antiochus Epiphanes, a man that greatly persecuted God's people, the Jews, back in around 180 B.C. And when he came to power, it says in Daniel 11:21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He's a flatterer in the anti-Christian spirit, which will be epitomized and personified in the anti-Christian person in the end times. He could be here today. Will be a flatterer, spreading a net for his neighbor, speaking peace, peace when there's no peace, but not turning men from sin, not delivering them from sin, but justifying them in their sin, sealing them in their sin to their own destruction eternally, to the grief of the souls of all righteous men. Oh, don't listen to evil communications or those speaking false peace, my dear friends. Wait on God to speak peace. As much as physical poison, if you drink it, except God supernaturally, who can do anything, protected you from it, it would be suicide. It would destroy you in the same way the Scripture teaches that evil communications is poison. It corrupts good intentions. Whoever you are, and you or I or anybody else under the sun, is proud to think that it would not affect us. If you're lost today, if you don't know where you stand before God, if you've been converted but you're backslidden, please, my dear friends, stay away from evil communications. And those that want to make you feel good or pat you on the back, those that love to flatter with the tongue and spread a net for their neighbor, it's evil, it's wicked, and it's destructive to the souls of men. We need more men that are old-time Christians and biblically rooted, and they have a type of love that Scripture calls love, which is this: open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke him, and not suffer sin upon him. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Be zealous therefore and repent, and rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We need more men like that.